We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 25 today. Matthew chapter 25, beginning with verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? Then the king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. This passage is definitely one of those that we don't like to look at, if we're honest. And this is because what's happening here in the Gospel of Matthew is that Jesus is becoming very serious, and things are really getting tense as he's going to the cross, because of the very next chapter, in chapter 26, is where Jesus is talking about how he's going to die, the Son of Man is going to die, he's going to be crucified, and then in Matthew 27, we have the crucifixion that takes place. And when we read these instructions, read this that Jesus is talking about here, there's this urgency that Jesus is trying to get out to the disciples, letting them know what this is all about, letting them know why he came and what the purpose of all of this has been. Because of the fact that just like you and I, the disciples had a problem grasping it. The disciples had a problem processing it, digesting it, that they had a problem making sense out of it, because we are all born, just like the disciples were, with this innate desire of selfishness and this innate desire of what's in it for me. And so from the very beginning, while the disciples are following Jesus, all they could really ask, and they didn't really ask it in these terms all the time, but all they could really think about in their heart and mind was, okay, we left everything to follow this guy, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? All the way to the point that you know that they even asked him at one point, which one of us is going to be the greatest in your kingdom, God? Which one of us is going to be the greatest? Because that's what all this is about, right? It's all about being great in your kingdom. It's all about being recognized in your kingdom. I mean, we didn't leave everything we own for nothing, right? That wouldn't make any sense. So we left everything we own to follow you. So Jesus, what's it going to be? What do we get back? Isn't that how we live? It really is, if you think about it. We're always looking for something back, right? Anybody here have a rewards card? Now, I don't know about you, but I get tired of being asked if I have the rewards card. Almost every place you go now, whether it's whether you go to the counter or whether it's online, they always pause and say, are you a member of our rewards program? You'll get 2% back. And then usually they say, no. Well, would you like to start up, set up today? No. Well, it only takes 1 minute. I know. No. We can get you started right now. Well, what's the point of a rewards program? You get something back, right? Some of them, if you look into it, you really get some good stuff back. It really makes sense. Some others you look at, you're like, yeah, if I get like 5,000 cups of coffee, I'll be able to get a free one. how it works, right? But we're always, that's how they're able to market things like that, because you get something back. We just had Black Friday, right? What's all that about? All about the discounts and all about saving money. And then anybody here ever take advantage of a rebate? The whole rebate idea. It's a discount, but we're not giving it to you yet. We're giving you the rebate later. You're getting something back. Too many times we look for something in return. We think about it's all for us, and we talk about being selfless, and we talk about, I'm not a selfish person, but in reality, all of us, it's kind of like that's our motivation, and just about everything we do is, what do we get back? And if we don't get back what we think we deserve, then that's when we call it quits and we say, okay, I'm done. I'm done. I'm tired of giving. I'm not going to give anymore. Many years ago, when I was working jobs in between, when we just were getting started in evangelism, and I was working jobs in between, and I was working at this store, and I worked myself up to being a supervisor. We had staff meetings. Anybody here ever participate in a staff meeting? Now, staff meetings are not fun. Does anybody here enjoy staff meetings? Is there anybody at all that would have the nerve to raise your hand to say you enjoy staff meetings? So we would have staff meetings from time to time. And just curious, has anybody here ever had a staff meeting that kind of went awry, that kind of went south? So what happened was we're back there for our staff meeting. And the person who normally would cover the floor during our staff meeting wasn't there this day. So the one employee by the name of Leora, I remember her name very clearly, she was usually the one up front. So our manager politely asked her before we started the meeting, so-and-so can't make it. Could you please go watch the store while we have this meeting? No. I just need you to watch the store a little bit while we have this meeting. I'm not going to. Manager, you know, sometimes you just have to give a little. Well, I'm tired of giving. Storms out. Anybody ever experienced a time like that, moment like that, right? What was she saying? What she was saying from her perspective, I'm not justifying her at all. I'm not saying she was right. She should have got up and just simply did it. But what she was saying was, I'm the only one you ever call on. I'm the only one that ever does it. I'm not getting anything back. Everybody else does whatever they want, but I'm the one, and I'm not getting enough credit for what I do, so I'm tired of giving. There's only so much I'm going to give. Only so much. There's a breaking point of how much I'm going to give. I'm a giving person, but I'm not going to give that much. That's kind of how we're all born. It's like our natural tendency is that that's what we live for is, well, what am I going to get for it? What am I going to get in return? What's my rebate? What's my discount? What am I going to get? So that's how the disciples were thinking when they're following Jesus the whole time. They're thinking, what's in it for us, Jesus? When are we going to be on the throne? When are we going to be the king? We're God's chosen people, right? We're God's chosen people. When are we going to be the ones that are set up and made great and made everybody else dirt and everybody else serves us? And Jesus comes with this whole opposite perspective on life to the point that Jesus didn't make any sense to them. Remember when Jesus got down and started washing their feet? Peter, Simon even said, no, Jesus, no, don't touch my feet. Jesus, no, that's what a servant does. And Jesus says, what do you think I am? It was all confusing. And if there's one thing you see about Jesus, he was never about what am I going to get back. He was never about what am I going to get in return. He was never about I'm only going to give just enough, but if you don't, oh. You know what? I know we had this idea for the cross and all. I know we had everything for the crucifixion, and I get it, but no, they're not. No, they haven't even given anything, so I'm not going to the cross. I'm done with this. I'm drawing the line right there. I'm not giving my life. So when we come to this passage, what Jesus is talking about, these are hard words that he says, and all of us have heard these passages before, where he says that that Jesus is going to divide everybody in the end. This is at the end, everybody. At the end, we don't talk about that a lot anymore because we like to keep things positive, but there is going to be an end. Whether we like it or not, there will be an end when everything is done and everything you see is over. The end of the world. And what's going to happen is, as this passage says, Jesus is going to divide us, divide everybody, and there's going to be goats on one side and sheep on the other. And he's going to divide them up. And he's going to base it on the ones that he knew and the ones who knew him. And he explains to them that the reason I'm dividing you up and the reason you're a sheep, you're over here. Reason you're a goat, you're over here. Reason you're a sheep is why? Is because you took care of me when I was in prison. You took care of me when I was sick. You looked after me. You clothed me when I was naked. You gave me food when I was hungry. And they said, Jesus, when did we do that. And Jesus says, if you've done it under these, you've done it under the least of these, you've done it unto me. He looks over to the others and he says, you, on the other hand, no, you are not coming into my rest. Why aren't you coming into my rest? Because I don't know you and you don't know me. What do you mean, Jesus? What are you talking about? Right here, you did not clothe me when I needed clothes. You did not look after me when I was in prison. You did not feed me when I was hungry. Jesus, if we would have known, we would have done something. I mean, come on. If you were in prison, all you'd have to do is call and say, Jesus is in prison, man. We would have raked down the road. We would have taken care of it, man. Man, if you were hungry, Jesus, why didn't you say something? We would have fed you. We would have given you something. I mean, come on, Jesus. Clothes? I mean, come on. You're Jesus of all people. If that's what you need, Jesus, here it is. And he says, no, because the fact that you didn't do it to the least of these, you didn't do it to me. So what's difficult about this passage, and in every passage like this, is that too many times we get into the check-the-box mentality when it comes to Christianity. And I don't know how your personality is, but I'm a definite check-the-box person. That frustrates my spouse all the time. Because my spouse is somebody who just goes and does. I'm the check-the-box person. I need a list. The first time we went shopping together, oh my goodness. We had the list of what we were going to get. Just a simple list. This is it. So I'm looking at it. I might be even timing the list. Well, we're only going to be in the store for about this amount of time because this is all we're going to get. We walk through the door. She walks over here. That's not on the... Well, we got to check out what's on sale. We do. I don't work that way. And don't get that now because that's going to be discounted probably 2 weeks from now. How do you know that? Did I marry a prophet? What's going on? And so back and forth, now she doesn't work that way. But the whole idea of a list for me is I have to have it. Otherwise, if you just say, hey, just go do something, it's going to be a mess. I have to have it categorized, specified. This is what I have to do. Check, 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 check when I'm done, and then I'm done. Whew, glad that's over. Well, others, especially when it comes to shopping, I don't know how some of you do it, but I've seen it, I've witnessed it firsthand. Some of you are what I would call perpetual shoppers. You're always shopping. You see, I get to the end of the list, I'm done. You know why? Because I don't want to do it. You know why that is? I don't like it. I don't like anything to do with it. When God gave us Amazon, which was a direct descendant straight from heaven, I believe, all you have to do is just press a button and it's on your doorstep. They can even wrap it for you. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Right? So I like the check the box. But the problem is when we have the check the box mentality and we take the check the box mentality over to our Christianity, that's when everything goes awry. That's when everything gets messed up. Because it's like, okay, I want to be a Christian. I want to serve Jesus. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, of course. Yeah, I want to go to heaven. Yeah, I want to have my cloud. I want to have my mansion. I want to have my robe. I want everything. My gold ring. Streets of gold. I don't want to go to hell. I've heard it hurts pretty bad there. It's burning and everything and eternally. I don't want to go there. So what do I have to do, God? All right, so here's my list. All right. Every morning I get up, I read my Bible. Okay, how long should I read my Bible? Well, let's say 15 minutes. 15 minutes, read your Bible. Okay, I should probably pray also, shouldn't I? Yeah, you should probably pray. Okay, how long should I pray? 15 minutes. So every morning I read my Bible, 15 minutes, and I pray. Whew, glad that's over. But every morning I'm doing it. Why? Because I don't want to go to hell. What else do I have to do? Well, okay, you also have to go to church. All right, fine, we'll go to church. What time does it start? 10. All right, I'll be there at about 10, I don't know, something. I'll just slip in the back and just wait until it's almost over and then slip back out and I'll just check it off. Say, okay, I went to church. Why? I don't want to go to hell. So I'm just keeping my list. What else do I have to do? Well, there is this passage in Matthew 25 where he says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto him. So you need to do something with the poor. You need to do those who are impoverished. All right, what do I have to do? Just tell me. All right, one Saturday a month, I'm going to focus on nothing but the poor. In fact, not just one Saturday a month. What I'm going to do is I want to write a check to those ministries. They do a great job. I know they do. Write a check overseas to the impoverished areas in Africa. That's what I'm going to do. Just check it off. And so now, what do I have? Now, every day, I read my Bible 15 minutes, pray 15 minutes. I go to church, and I'm writing a check off. Whew, I'm in, right? Right, God? I'm in. How many of you are married? Is that how marriage works? Just give me the list, dear, and I'll do it. What do you want? Well, every now and then I'd like to hear you say I love you. Okay, how many times you want it? When do you want me to say it? Well, once a day at least. Okay, check. Hey, I love you. Check. Okay, I'm good for this day, right? Well, and I like flowers every now and then. Okay, when do you want flowers? How often do you want flowers? Well, at least on our anniversary. Okay, I'll just have the long-standing account of the flower shop. Every time our anniversary shows up, pop, flowers are right there. I don't even have to do anything. I just simply pay the bill, and it shows up. What else? Well, we should spend an evening together every now and then. Okay, spend an evening together? Okay, and when do you want to do that? How often? Now, how many wives like that approach? How many wives look at that and go, wow, he must really love me? Just tell me what I have to do. Just check. Okay, I'm done. That's it. It's over. See, relationship doesn't work that way, and neither does relationship with Christ work that way. It doesn't work that way. It's not a check-the-box mentality. You see, the whole idea of following Christ is completely different because when you look at everything he's talking about here, there's this urgency involved from the beginning as you go from Matthew 24 all the way to the end of the crucifixion in Matthew 27. And you're hearing him constantly talk about all this stuff of, hey, man, if you guys want to be my disciple, you know what you have to do? You're going to have to do what I do. Well, how do we do that, Jesus? Well, you need to deny yourself, take up your cross daily, and follow me. We can't even get past that first one. Deny myself. What do you mean, deny myself? See, I'm of the mindset, what's in it for me, Jesus? What am I going to get out of it? Where's my kickback? Where's my reward? Where's my rebate, Jesus? No, deny yourself. So I want to introduce to you another word, another old word. You may even know it. It's possible. I know many of you are much smarter than I am, but there it is. This is the word abnegate. Say it with me, please. Abnegate. It's an ancient word. Any guesses for those who have not looked it up, tech room? They always get it right. I don't know how. Any guesses on what abnegate means? Somebody looking up through Siri? Is that what you're doing? Yeah, Siri started talking there. Yeah. Everybody look at him right now. He's the one that did it. Just make sure he's embarrassed. Abnegate. It means to deny. It means to surrender, to deny, to push aside, specifically for oneself. So it's like self-denial. It's the idea of giving up something. Surrender is the whole idea of abnegate. Now, why do I like to do this? Because it's a different word, something we're not used to. And so what I want you to do is think about when was the last time you abnegated, especially during the holidays. I mean, we just had Thanksgiving, right? Thanksgiving. Did anybody here abnegate on Thanksgiving? Did anybody here deprive themselves of something on Thanksgiving? And say, you know what? Everybody else is going to do that, but not me. Even though it's my favorite, and it smells, and it's going to abnegate, and I am not. It's pretty difficult, isn't it? Abnegate. The whole purpose of everything Jesus is saying when he's talking about the sheep and the goats is that the difference between the sheep and the goats is that the sheep, the ones that are living with him for eternity, realized on this earth, while they were walking on this earth, they didn't follow Jesus for a kickback. They didn't follow Jesus for a rebate. They didn't follow Jesus for a reward. They followed Jesus because they realized it wasn't about them. And that's the hardest part for us to grasp and to understand. Because it's not about you. It's not. I know you think it is, from time to time at least. And I know that we're built that way, we're designed that way, but it's not. You were created to surrender. You were created to abnegate. You were created to say, not me. You were created to say, no, you go first. You see, because the problem is, if we take what Jesus said and we just put it in the check the box category, we miss the whole point and we say, okay, I'll take care of the needy. So Jesus is the needy, so I'll send my check, or I'll devote an hour every Saturday, or whatever I'm going to do. And not all those things are good. Nothing. It doesn't mean that those are bad things. We're telling you to do that. We always coach you to do that. But the bottom line is, the core of Christianity is that that is all natural. That comes out of a natural flow because you already serve him. Because look at what he says. Go back to chapter 25 again, please, Dwayne. Okay, and let's go to the next slide. Next slide. Right here, verse 37. The righteous will answer him. This is what both of them said. The unrighteous and the righteous both said this. They said, Lord, when was this? When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? We never saw this, Jesus. In other words, they were not doing it for the kickback. They weren't doing it saying, boy, Jesus is going to like this. Jesus says, they're pointing out here, you didn't even know that what you were doing was actually for Jesus. Why? Because you just naturally did it. It just came out of impulse. It wasn't because you had to do it. It was because you had this overwhelming desire to do it, which is what Christianity is all about. Overwhelming desire to do it. See, sometimes I think we try too hard to be a Christian. We try too hard to live a life that is pleasing to God. And we say, well, I got to do this because that's what a Christian does. I got to please God because that's what a Christian does. I have to do this. I have to do that. All of these things that I have to do in order to be a Christian. And I don't want to go to hell. I got to do this. I got to do that. When in reality, if we follow Jesus and we surrender, all of those other things are going to happen out of natural, not because of have to, not because of checking a box, but it's going to come because I can't help myself. I know I shouldn't love them. I know they're not nice. They're not pleasant. But somehow Jesus just gave me his eyes, and I just can't help myself. I know I shouldn't forgive them. I know. Any person in their right mind probably wouldn't, man, after what they did. But I just can't help myself. I just have to forgive because Jesus is. I know I should be selfish. I know other people are, and they're good in their selfishness, but I don't know why. For some reason, I just can't be, because it's just natural that I'm not thinking of. Christianity, I do Christian things not because I have to, but I just do Christian things because I'm living, and by living, it's a natural response to Jesus inside me, and what's happening is I don't even realize that I'm doing it, and somebody else outside is looking in saying, did you know you just, I had no idea. Because that's what Christianity is all about. You know, there's another passage that we've talked about before. When Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he's explaining to them the whole idea when people say, when he says, "I don't know you," in the end, it's all over, and it's, "I don't know you." And what do they say? "You, what do you mean you don't know us? Jesus, you know who I am. You remember? We proclaimed your gospel. We cast out demons, man. We healed the sick. We cast out demons in your name. How dare you say you don't know us?" Jesus says, "Depart from me. I never knew you." You mean you could do Christian things and not know Jesus? Yeah. Because it all comes back to the motivation of why you're doing it. If you're doing it for a kickback or a reward or a rebate, you're wasting your time. Because it's all about knowing him. And then my behavior then is a natural response to knowing him. Addictions have been a very strong talk in our culture, especially for many years. It has been said before, and it's true today, that therapists have no problem staying busy. They have no issue finding clients. Drug counseling and alcohol rehab have no issue finding clients. If there's one thing you could have job security in today, it would be getting in a job in that field, because everybody, or not everybody, but the majority of people are needing it, and it's on the rise of how many people need therapy, how many people need to deal with drug addiction, how many people need to deal with alcohol addiction, all the addictions that are out there today. And it goes beyond just those two big ones, which is drugs and alcohol. We have other addictions that are out there. There's sexual addictions, there's pornography, there's all these other addictions that are out there, and they have no problem staying busy. No problem. And I remember several years ago, had a person in my church at the time came, and he wanted to meet with me, and we went out, and we were sitting down and talking, and he just started to say that he explained everything he was dealing with, opened up to me, started to explain all the addictions that he had that I didn't even know about. And the more he talked, the more I was trying to figure out what the best course of action was for him and who I could refer him to or how we should pray. But then he looked at me and he said, "Chad," he had tears in his eyes. He said, "Chad, but you know what?" He said, I want to serve God. I want to give all this up. I do. I want to give all this up. But with all my heart, I do. I do. I really do. But I just can't help myself." You ever been there? Come on, let's get off the evil addiction talk and let's talk about Thanksgiving again. "I shouldn't have another piece of pumpkin pie with whipped cream, but just can't help myself. I shouldn't put more whipped cream on this, but it's here. Just can't help myself." I mean, after all, it is Thanksgiving, right? Just can't help myself. Isn't it amazing how many times we use that excuse in our life? "I just can't help myself." It's not just with those kind of things, but it's also with our behavior, with our mentality, with our personality. "Sorry, I just can't help myself. I know I have a temper. I blow my stack every day. Sorry. Just can't help myself. It's just who I am." There's many things we can put in that category. Have you ever been in a spot or in a position where doing what Jesus did, you have to do, not because you're trying to avoid hell, but because, "I'm sorry, man, I just can't help myself. I just can't keep from loving like Jesus loves. I just can't keep from forgiving like Jesus forgives. I just can't keep from helping the needy as Jesus does. I just can't help myself. I mean, I want to have to go to therapy to get this fixed because I can't keep from it. It just kind of happens. And every time I tell myself, I'm not going to do it today. Nope, I'm not doing it today. I'm putting it aside. No, I'm doing it all away. I'm thinking about something else. I just can't. It's just, it's natural. This draw. It takes me right over. And I just keep doing all this Jesus stuff. And I can't keep from it. And I know other people look at me because I'm weird, because I'm doing it, and they don't do it, and they're wondering why I am, but I just can't stop it. It's just kind of just this pull. I mean, I love to change, but I just can't. Wouldn't it be something if every professing believer had that as a concern? Every professing follower of Jesus had the concern of, you know, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I just can't keep from being like Jesus. Because that's everything Jesus is talking about here in this passage. Everything he's talking about. This is not about you, your kickback, your rebate. This is about you giving up. This is about you abnegating, surrendering. It isn't about me. So Jesus, whatever you want is fine. And just a natural pull that I'm not going to be doing Jesus stuff because I have to, because I want to avoid hell. I'm doing Jesus stuff because I can't keep from it. Because when he's inside me, he's doing it and I cannot stop it. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for who you are, for all that you mean to us. And God, we just ask today, you would search all of our hearts, all of our souls. You would show each of us, Lord, what it means to follow you and to be your disciple. Lord, we don't want to do what's right because it's right. We don't want to do what's right because we have to. We want to be like you. Because you called us to be like you. And when you called us to be like you, it wasn't just calling us to be like you just at certain times or in certain ways or just part of you, but you actually called us to be completely like you because you told us to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. Jesus, is it possible that when we walk out of here today, we could be Jesus? That when people see us, they would see Jesus. That when people hear us, they would hear Jesus. That when people are just simply around us, they would sense the presence of Jesus. Is it possible, Jesus, that when people notice us, they would say, man, my goodness, that has to be someone who follows Jesus. Well, how do you know? Well, look at them. They are just as selfless as he is. They live as if it's not about them. Jesus, show each of us today what this means. Pray that all of us would have a desire to be everything that you want and have called us to be. We ask all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?